You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yes, surprise.
Yay.
I like how you say that.
Today, I know, I'm like it's going to be different.
We're always waiting for that moment. Somebody else.
I love it. How's it going today? You've had a full morning already.
Yes, it's been lots nonstop with people. So yeah, it's almost 1 o'clock. I love how we talk like this. Nobody has a clue. Like what time of day? Like it could be 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
You've had crazy day. But yeah, no, it's been full of meetings and talking to people.
Your favorite thing.
And now we're going to continue.
Yeah, so we found out who our real super fan is.
She
is going to give Allie a run for her money.
Yes.
They may need to like arm wrestle or something.
They do.
At some point. But Carolyn Hibbs says she has listened to
every episode. Now, if we only had like 10 episodes, that would be impressive. But you just shared last time we met.
Yeah.
This
150? One is 154.
154.
That's a lot.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on where we started. I'm assuming we started at one. I should go back and look.
I don't know.
Oh,
but
man.
As Carolyn was listening, she has been there from the beginning, thick and thin. Right?
What a ride.
I know. Ride. Different host.
We better have her on as a guest sometime. I bet she'd be a great guest.
Do it. And then your intro is going to be different.
You're officially invited. All right. So we are in Revelation chapter 13.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Because
that wasn't a very good segue.
No, I'm just laughing because we're going to talk about 13, but I was laughing because of how jacked up I've completely done the Revelation. Like, yes, we're in Revelation.
And I
not
feel
tracking
like,
with what was planned.
I feel like I have grown so much and matured because I don't know, 2 years ago, I would have really been struggling with this. But I am learning to fly by the seat of my pants.
So is the rest of us.
Under the tutelage of Pastor David.
So is the rest of us. Listen, the spirit is as the wind blows.
Yes. And I feel like I'm hanging in there, you know?
Yes, I feel like that feather on the wind. And at any moment, you can just shift directions.
Anyone that knows me knows that I like to be planned. I like to just always have things planned and structured and have a way of what we're going to do. And so, yes, we have not stuck to the plan, but it's actually been good, I think, because it's a lot to get through and it's hard to do a
full
chapter justice. Yeah. And so Sunday we started chapter 13.
Yep.
Did you intend to do the whole chapter?
It was my intention. It actually was in my notes. Completely.
Okay.
I knew before church started that I wasn't going to do it. So it wasn't that I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to get to this.
Got it.
I knew before church started. I actually was wrestling all Saturday night with it. I don't know if I can get all this in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided. So yeah, I knew that going into it, but it originally was in my notes. But
so
I deleted all of that.
So we got halfway through it, right? We got through verse 10.
Verse 10.
We haven't gotten to the second beast yet.
But
we're going to talk second beast today.
We'll talk about it today.
Okay.
That way we're not messing up our podcast.
Okay. So this Sunday you're planning to still go back to that though and then move into chapter 14 little bit.
Yep.
Okay. Are we doing all of chapter 14?
I'm
also
really going to try hard.
Okay.
Really going to try hard.
You heard it here, you guys. We're going to try.
I'm going to try really, really hard.
That's too funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we'll go where the spirit moves us.
Yes. So let's talk about the first beast.
Yeah.
Who is the Antichrist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the Antichrist basically represents everything opposed to God and his saving work in the world.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, I would also say this. I didn't mention this on Sunday, but I think it's a good thing to also. The word anti doesn't necessarily mean opposed.
Okay.
That word can also mean an alternative.
Oh.
So the Antichrist, yes, while he is opposed to everything of holiness and righteousness, Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist, which I think is something you have in your questions we might process here, that's talked about in scripture, is not necessarily opposition to, it's just an alternative to. So Antichrist can be anything that we put in the place of Christ.
Okay.
So that's another way to kind of look at that
meaning
of that word.
Okay. So going along with the Antichrist, mm-hmm. I want to look at 1 John 2:18-23, because John talks about the Antichrist here. So I'm just going to read it. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Actually, I think that's all I'm going to read. Because the part I want to focus on is that is at the beginning in verse 18, where it said, children, is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Mm-hmm. So does this mean there's more than one person at the end of days?
Mm-hmm. So this is where it gets interesting, right? So if you notice, I'm going to assume on what you're reading from, mm-hmm. Antichrist there is not capitalized, correct?
Okay. Oh, so that's a good...
This is where he's speaking of the spirit of Antichrist.
Okay.
So this spirit of opposition to God, this uh-huh. spirit of... 'cause there's been many... Antichrist,
right.
that have been individual people that are not the Antichrist, but they are the spirit of the Antichrist. So, you know, as an example, some of the people that have been named throughout history as the possible Antichrist, mm-hmm. Nero would have been considered a spirit of the Antichrist. He was opposed okay. to Christ. He was opposed to, and then even him demanding worship of himself as an emperor, he mm-hmm. was an alternative, worship me instead of worshiping Christ. Hitler would have been another prime example as a spirit of the Antichrist. Now, was he the Antichrist, the, mm-hmm. right, the one that we're talking about in like in Revelation? No, but the spirit of Antichrist is, that's why we have people pointing at people today saying they're the Antichrist, is because they're manifesting the spirit of Antichrist. Okay. Doesn't mean they're holding the title of Antichrist. Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason? So one of the things that kind of got me thinking like, oh, okay, maybe there's multiple, because in Revelation 13, right off the bat, it says that the beast has seven heads. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, well, maybe that is part of the, like, I haven't read that anywhere.
That's what I was just wondering. Just I was going to ask connection. If any of your stories.
No, that's just something I saw that I was like, I wonder if that kind of ties into, I mean, I know we don't know.
I've never
know.
Heard that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Like I said, I haven't read that, but.
But that would be an interesting thing. And I think that would be, no matter what, if somebody did teach that, that mm-hmm. would be another one of those things we talked about before, is speculation. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody would point at different leaders throughout world history to say, you know, mm-hmm. like, Hitler very easily could have, like, so, or were these individuals that tried for world domination or something? And maybe there potentially could be somebody that makes a list of seven sure. that have existed, or six that existed, and then a seventh one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, you're right. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anybody say that.
Okay.
I've always just read and heard this preached as, this is the spirit of Antichrist, meaning this is active
okay.
constantly. It's always been active. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. the things that pull us away from Christ and the yep. things that oppose Christ.
Okay.
And that's why as
yeah, I've heard that before too.
So. And as we get closer to the end, that's why we as Christians feel the anxiety of this, right? Because the spirit of Antichrist is becoming more apparent. Mm-hmm. It's blatant now. It's worse. That's why as Christians, those that can remember back at a simpler, you know, when I say simpler time, they see things that are happening now and like, wow, this never was allowed in our society. Mm-hmm. But now, because the spirit of Antichrist is ramping up, it's
yeah.
increasing. So,
okay. So then let's go to Daniel 7, right? That's Ooh. What you referenced on Sunday.
It's like a good
Sunday.
Bible study. We're like jumping around.
I was like, I made the note in my notes on Sunday that you were like, ooh, like we'll yeah. talk about this. And I sent a picture of it to somebody. Did I send it to Haley? I think so. And I was like, noted.
Yeah. like, that's why I did it.
B-side.
I
was like, yep. That was just a message for me.
There you go. There
you so, go. I was kind of looking at it, and it's similar, but there's actually four, is it four beasts in Daniel?
Yes, there's four beasts.
Okay, where in Revelation it combines them all into one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what are we looking at here
so
with Daniel?
So in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 2 are actually the same, it's the same message through two different visions, okay? in Daniel chapter 2, you have the vision of Nero, where Nero has the dream and he sees the statue and gold head, silver, bronze, as you work your way down. And we know from history and in the interpretation of scripture, this represents the kingdoms and all of that. 7 is the exact same message, but from the way I've heard it and taught, it's from God's perspective. See, man looks upon the kingdoms of man, and we look upon them as beautiful, like glorious. You know, people would have looked at, you know, Nero and Babylon and the glory of that. God looks at the institutions of man, or the way that I've always heard this and been taught about this, is God says, no, I look at the kingdoms of man, and I see them as beasts, because compared to my son's kingdom, they're beasts before me. So in this dream that Daniel has, God shows Daniel the four major empires that are going to exist, that basically are going to control the known world before the coming of Antichrist, who then will be the final kingdom that controls the whole world. So this is one of the things that we have to understand as humans when we study human history. No empire, right? There's been empires all throughout human history, but no empire has controlled what was the known world after Rome. Rome's the last one. No empire has existed since Rome that's controlled everything. Mm-hmm. So that's what God's laying out here. So the first one you have is Babylon, then you have Persia, then you have Greece, and then you have Rome. Plus, the one that represents Rome is also a representation of the Antichrist. So that's what the vision is laying out, is these four empires. And we know this because of, again, the description and what God interprets the dream. You know, later on, the dream is interpreted, and God tells, you know, Daniel what this is representing. He doesn't name them by name. Mm-hmm. But like as an example, the Greek Empire is referenced as a leopard. Right. One of the reasons historians believe that God uses a leopard to explain Greece is because Alexander the Great, who led that empire, he conquered the world in like unbelievably quick. Like he moved like a leopard. Like it was not a slow thing. He conquered very fast and he controlled the world. They say Babylon, you know, being the lion, is because Nebuchadnezzar was considered the, like, remember, he was the head of gold. He's the top. He was the most glorious out of all of them. Hmm. So again, each one represents, like the Persian Empire is known as that bear because of, I'm trying to remember what the commentary said with this, but just kind of like the way they conquered was much more like this, I'm trying to remember how they worded it, when it compared more to a bear in the sense of like the viciousness of it and just mm-hmm. the brutality mm-hmm. that came with it. But then you have that last Roman one. Rome isn't even described by an animal because there was nobody that compared to the viciousness of Rome. Like they were just horrific in how they conquered and how they controlled. And again, that's the Antichrist. Many people think that the Antichrist's kingdom is actually going to be a resurgence of the Roman Empire. There's a lot of teachings on that.
That's interesting.
That his kingdom is going to be birthed out of a resurgence of the Roman Empire. It gets wonky with that, so I don't want to go too much into it, because that's why what's interesting about this is the Roman Empire, again, out of the rest of these, this is an interesting history fact when you think about it. Rome is the only empire that was never truly conquered. See, Rome fell. Mm-hmm. It wasn't conquered. The rest of them were all conquered. And so that's why a lot of people think that the Roman Empire still exists. Like it's like dormant in some ways. And that's why they try to compare, or they connect the coming of the Antichrist with the rebirth of Rome, or at least the Roman Empire. I say I don't want to get, again, too deep into this, but this is where you'll find some authors that'll talk about Catholicism with this, because a lot of the teachings, if you study Roman history, Rome, again, the empire fell, but the power of Rome actually went from being an empire to the power of Rome was then found in the church, like, you know, the Pope and all of that. Like the Pope ruled under when the Rome first was, you know, so you have Roman Catholicism that controlled the known world during the beginning time. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting when you look at history, and there's a lot of speculation that can be made. That's what I want to say with this is there's don't ever, I don't want anybody to be like, that's the way it is, because there's a lot of speculation to it. But it's interesting when you study it. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting on how Rome, again, did not get conquered. It just, it fell, but it turned into something else.
Okay.
And it, that something else still exists today. So
what do we need to know about the tie between this section of Daniel and this section of Revelation?
So when we see the Antichrist, that's what I was talking about on Sunday, is the Antichrist, the way he's presented in Revelation, is that he is the culmination of every empire that's come before him.
Mm.
Like he's the culmination, the combining of all of them. Now, I don't want to make anybody sit there like, oh, let's pick this piece from this and this. That's not the point. What God is saying is that all of man's empires, right, it's all been leading to this. You know, there was purpose between all of them. This isn't something that we should scratch our heads and be like, we've never seen anything like this before. No, we have. We've seen empires that have controlled and had world domination. His is just the culmination of all of them, you know. And he's going to have the very much the same similarities. He's going to be, remember, he's going to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. So like Babylon, you know, Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of himself. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. The Antichrist's kingdom is going to be brutal, and they're going to be horrific and how they conquer the world. It's also going to be quick, like the Greek Empire. It's only going to happen within a matter of a few years. Mm-hmm. He's going to control everything. So that's where I'm saying, like, there's similarities. He's the culmination of all of them in one. And so that's what God's showing, is that this is all connected.
Okay.
It's not in isolation.
Mm, I love that.
So
I always love the connections. So in this passage too, we see that this first beast blasphemes God, which is lying about God.
Mm-hmm.
I also read in a commentary that when he blasphemes, he's breaking the third commandment, taking the Lord's name in vain, by saying things that are not true about God. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times we think, oh, like, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Like, you're like, don't cuss. But a lot of times it's like misrepresenting who God is. And so I'm curious. So why does the beast imitate Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And why does God allow him to reign and even to blaspheme his name?
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions that I would love to say I have wonderful answers to.
You don't just have all the
but
answers.
But I'm not God, so I don't know why God's doing it. I mean, to me, those are questions that at the root, that they really at the root for the answer is this, they're very much similar to the same question of why did God even create the devil in the first place?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Honestly, they're speculations that we can have or theories, but at the end of it, until God gives us that answer, there really is no good answer. Why does God allow it, or why does God, like, you take the blaspheming of his name, you know, it goes back to, asking the same question, why has God allowed so many false prophets to exist and false teachers? Like, why doesn't God, you know, and I think that puts it back on us, that we want to point our finger at God and say it's your fault for allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we need to start pointing the finger back at us and saying, but it's our fault for believing it.
Yeah.
Like, if we're not going to take the time to know truth and to study truth and to know the difference. And I go back to something that I shared at the end of the sermon on Sunday, was you don't learn the fake by studying the fake. You know the fake by studying the original.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, I remember hearing that when it came to law enforcement, when they look for counterfeit money. They don't study, or even like a counterfeit driver's license.
Yeah.
They don't study the fakes. They study the real thing, because then you spot a fake like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the call on us as Christians. You know, we can't look at God like, why are you going to allow this? He's like, but I've given you all the truth you need. If you're not going to take the time to know the truth and hear the truth and seek the truth, you can't blame me that you believe a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of no different than you think about how lies work today. It's like if somebody came to me, and like the relationship we have as coworkers, but also just in the same church together and brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody comes to me and tells me a lie about you, right? I have the choice right then that either I can believe the lie or I can actually take the time and the effort and also the humility to go find out, did you really say this?
Right.
Did this really happen?
Oh, I said it.
Yeah. No, that's why I just believe everything that people tell me. When it comes to Malia, I just, sounds totally legit.
It's nothing I wouldn't say to your face, you know?
Exactly. And it's probably something she has. But I mean, that's kind of the thing. We can't sit back and not do the work that we're called to do.
Yeah.
When we, so it's really easy to blame God, mm-hmm. right? So that's the lie part. Why does he, you know, what was the, I mean, you asked about the blaspheming. What was the other parts of the question?
Imitating Christ.
Oh, well, again, that's the imitation of Christ, I think, is in twofold. This is my opinion, but mm-hmm. just Satan's number one thing is always to mock God.
Oh.
Like, I can do it better than you. Yeah. I'm going to give them a false Messiah. Watch this. You don't think they'll follow me. I'll give them a Messiah that they'll truly follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's his way of thumbing. It goes back all the way the same to Job, right? If you think about his thing with Job was Satan was kind of like, Job only follows you because you protect him.
Right.
You stop protecting him, he's going to fold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is Satan's number one mode with all of us is, you know, it's kind of this, and it's the same thing with Peter. You remember, Jesus came to Peter and said, told Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. So that's how Satan works, is this the deception. Mm-hmm. He imitates Christ because he's mocking Christ, but it's right. also part of the lie.
Yeah, but that's follow how we, me. That's how we, I think, really understand our faith, though, too, yeah. is having those things. Right. And like you said, being sifted. And yeah. So I think that those things are naturally almost like helpful.
They're necessary
to yeah. our faith yeah. and to the purifying. Growing us. Yeah.
It's the purifying. Yeah. And you also, you know, you think about, I had a thought and it completely went right out of my mind.
I hate that.
And it was such a good thought.
I bet it was so good.
It was. It was amazing.
Quotable. Instagram Man, it worthy.
Gone. It is gone.
Okay. Well, if you think of it, we'll put a pin in that. Let's move on to the second beast
Kay.
That we did not get to on
we
Sunday.
Did not, but we will get to this Sunday. Text.
Yes. So what or who does the second beast symbolize?
So the second beast, again, he symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Remember, I've said okay. this the last 2 weeks. He's mocking the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So here's why we say he is the false prophet is mocking the Holy Spirit or represents the Holy Spirit is because we are told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit's job, one of his primary roles in the Godhead, is he is the one that is leading us and pointing us towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guidepost of trying to lead us to Christ and lead us to truth. And we see from the second part of Revelation that the false prophet, his purpose is to point the world to worship the Antichrist. So that's why he's fulfilling that role that only the Holy Spirit can do. Now, why it has to be a man that does this is because Satan is not God, and so he doesn't have a spirit that he can, you know, so he has to use a man to do that for him versus having this part of the Godhead, this powerful mm-hmm. Holy Spirit doing it. But that's what his purpose is to point us towards his false Messiah
okay.
and lead people to worship the false Messiah. Okay. So,
well, let's talk about this mark on the forehead that everyone's always so interested in. I feel like this is one of those things people know about.
It doesn't matter if you're Revelation. A Christian or yeah. not or read the yeah. Bible, everybody the 666. Knows 666.
So, okay, a couple things before you go crazy on this. That from some of my commentaries is that the number that's associated with holiness, which you've already said this in
mm-hmm.
this series and probably other sermons too, the number associated with holiness is 7. So God is 777.
Yep.
But the mark of the beast is 666, and that would mean more like creature. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's basically saying like not God. And then another commentary said that the Greek word for 666 is only used in Revelation and then one time in Acts, but that it indicates like an engraving or a tattoo to identify a person with the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you read that? Is mm-hmm. that what you think?
I've read that. Okay. Here's what's interesting about the mark. I have read and listened to some that say it is not a legitimate mark. Like they look at it more as a spiritual thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's not an mm-hmm. actual physical mark. I don't agree with that. I think it is an actual physical marking of some kind.
Right.
I don't know if I again, when they wrote this, is it going to be a tattoo? Could be. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be something permanently on us? Could be. Could yeah. it be a chip?
I saw engraving. I was like, ooh, yeah. that sounds painful.
You'd think. Could it be a chip implanted? Of course, since technologies, I don't sure. know. But here's what I believe. I believe it's not just some spiritual thing because of how the Bible talks about it being used. Mm-hmm. You will not be able to buy or sell mm-hmm. or trade without having this mark. That puts it in real life, real world use, mm-hmm. not just some, you know. So in some way, in some form, there is going to be some kind of an identification that is going to be created that you have to operate in the Antichrist empire.
Right. And you say you think you're a firm believer in thinking that us as believers now, like to say this, like we aren't going to be here for this.
We as the church won't be here for this. So like we as Christians now, uh-huh. I do not believe we'll be
okay.
here. Tribulation cool. saints will be.
Okay, cool. Yes.
I don't believe we will be.
That's what I thought. I just wanted yeah. to clarify that while you
no.
go on.
So yeah, no, when people are throwing out like, it's the mark, it's the yeah, mark. Yeah. I don't, okay. no, it's not the mark. So let me give you an example. And I can kind of express this deeper here than I might want to do on Sunday morning. COVID. When it came mm-hmm, out mm-hmm. and there was this big blow up about the COVID vaccine.
Right.
And people were blowing up. It's the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. It's not the mark of the beast. But I will say this. What COVID was, the vaccine was, it's those are things throughout human history mm-hmm. that are molding society to be ready to take the mark when it comes. Mm-hmm. So that's not me having a negative towards the COVID vaccine. I'm not up here preaching that. But what I'm saying is that created in the mindset of people, oh, if I want to exist in society, I have to get this thing to be able to exist in society. Mm-hmm. It trains us. It's no different than going cashless society.
Right.
Again, I'm not an I use my credit card, none mm-hmm. of that. But it's training us to the simplicity of what it'll be like. Oh, some people be like, that sounds great. All I got to do is show this. Mm-hmm. Swipe it real fast and I'm done.
Yeah, it's so easy.
It's so easy. So I'm not speaking negative about any of these things, but mm-hmm. I want us to understand as Christians, we have to see them as what they're doing. They're preparing society for that moment.
Sure.
Like it's conditioning us to get ready for it. But no, I do not, again, my stance on this, I do not believe we will be here. Mm-hmm. And even if a person was a mid-trib, rapture person, mm-hmm. they would probably say the same thing because this isn't going to happen instantaneously.
Right.
This is going to be more in the mid-trib when he really takes control mm-hmm. and it really gets bad. So a person that's even a mid-trib should probably say, the church won't be here for this.
Okay. So we're going to just be in heaven.
We're going to be
eating our popcorn, watching it go down.
Listen, I don't know if I want to be, I mean, listen, I like me a good disaster movie. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I
want to be like, I always, and obviously we're not going to know this until we're dead. But I always wonder like how much awareness we have
know.
Of what's going on earth and yeah. like with our people
yeah.
that we love and stuff. But, so let's talk a little bit about the forehead mark that us as believers mm-hmm. are going to have. Mm-hmm. So one of my commentaries, references Exodus 28. Where the priest have holy to the Lord on their turban or whatever it is they're wearing on their head. And so they think that's a possibility that could be what we have, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then there's been references to we see this forehead mark and, with 666 and then the mark that we're going to have as believers, like appearing in scripture in different places and stuff. And, it goes back to Deuteronomy 6 with the, you know, bind them on your forehead and on your wrists mm-hmm. section and how, I guess I didn't realize this, but I read that like some Jewish people like actually like literally physically bound, like they bind stuff to their foreheads mm-hmm. and to their wrists, like they take it literally. Which I don't know if that's an accurate representation of the text or not, but that this commentator said that it really is more of a to symbolize that like our thoughts and actions should be characterized by
yeah.
God's commands, and so that's why mm-hmm. those two places in particular. So yeah,
there's very much so that's why I want to say I don't think that we need to over spiritualize even 666.
Right.
But there is a spiritual element to it where I agree with that. Because I'm going to jump ahead for a second.
Yeah, go for
but
it.
But in 14 of Revelation, notice this, that in chapter 14, it says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads."
Mm.
So we just, like, right at, it's the next verse after.
Yeah.
So 666 on their foreheads, but then now the 144,000 have God's name written on their foreheads.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this instant comparison between the two. And so that's why I say I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think there's a spiritual element to both because again, the 666, that's it's a number for creature or created thing, but also scripture tells us it's the number for man. Man was written, which we are a creature, we're a created thing. Man was created on the sixth day. Right? So 666. So the core spiritual aspect of 666 is, yes, these are people that have placed their entire identity and their entire mindset on the worship of self.
Okay.
Humanism. It's about me, right? And that's why we see the spirit of this in our world today. It's all about happiness. Why do people think, people say, why would we ever follow somebody like the Antichrist? Because he's going to get up and promise you everything you want. And you're going to run itching ears, right? Like, oh, he's going to give me everything I want. He's going to make me rich and happy and prosperous. I'm going to go. So that's, and then the people of God with the seal on our foreheads is, it's because of, like you said, spiritually, inwardly, we've made the decision to make our life about surrender to him.
Mm.
Like, you're the king. It's about you. Another thing it does as we're talking, the reason I think it's the 666 is definitely a visible thing is because it's also meant to be an identification. During this time, during the tribulation, if you don't have it, you're dead. So that's why I think on the forehead makes sense, because as if I'm walking around, you're not going to doubt he's one of us.
Right.
So there's also this like very practical reason it's visible is because it makes me know. And I don't want to be killed, and I don't want to be mistreated. So yeah, I'll tattoo that thing on my.
Isn't that crazy? There. That's so crazy to think about.
Well, I think about, and this is what I love about. There was a movie out a long time, called Minority Report.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It's a great movie. And I'm not saying like this was the Antichrist or anything like that, but if you remember from it, there was this really cool thing with the technology in that, where all of the ads in that world would scan your eyeball and it would instantly start talking to you. Like as he's walking through and it was just like, "Hello, Mr. Ant," you know, whatever his name was. And it would start doing this. And I remember going like, man, that makes sense. Like if I have a marking on my head and it's like the system of control that the world's going to have and Christians trying to hide. I mean, it just, it blew my mind when I thought about like, wow, what will that be like? Of just surveillance.
We won't be here.
Well, unless we have that popcorn.
Yeah.
Killed that chicken. You know,
but we'll be safe.
Well, you that's true. We'll be up there like, well, let's watch what happens here. You know. But anyways. I don't know. That's what's cool about it. It's, we got to look at the big picture, but there's so, the speculation's fun. Not fun like we should enjoy it, but
it's interesting.
It's interesting because it just shows how much larger this is than us.
Yeah. And absolutely. Is there anything else from chapter 13 that you're like, man, I wanted to say that on Sunday, ran out of time?
No, I only had 10 verses to cover on Sunday, so I had plenty of time to hit everything.
It'll be next podcast where you'll be like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I try to get a whole chapter. A chapter and a half.
Yeah, chapter and a half. That's a lot.
Yeah, no, I would just, it's not about adding it. Somebody actually shared this with me since Sunday. And they just made the comment that they appreciate that as we're going through this, like Revelation can be so overwhelming and so dark, but they just said, I've just been very thankful through all of it that we keep reminding, like it's a promise to remind ourselves, like we don't have to fear it. Like the Antichrist and the false prophet and the dragon could be like, oh, they're so powerful and but they're still defeated. They're still, you know, we know the end of the story. And so that's just the encouragement always through this is don't get overwhelmed. Know that you're secure in Jesus and he's the one we trust. So
That's good. It's a good way to end this.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening.